Joining me, as he does every week, to preview Temple's upcoming game as well as recap the previous weeks is the editor of OwlScoop.com, John DiCarlo. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. How you doing?
Great. Well, I could be better. I mean, Temple could have won the game. They lose to Boston College 28-3. They dropped to 1-2 on the season. So before we get into the Fighting Rich Kotites of Wagner, let's just recap the Boston College game real quick. They were going up against the backup quarterback. They didn't muster really any offense other than one field goal, obviously. How do you think that the team responded after beating Akron 45-24?
I mean, they didn't respond well at all. I mean, they gave up a long kickoff return from the get-go, and they're going to keep hearing about special teams mistakes until they get it corrected, you know? So, I mean, they say the same stuff every week. You know, we have to get past these you know, slow starts, and, you know, we need better energy on the sideline and stuff like that. But, you know, from the get-go, you know, they give up a 67-yard kickoff return, you know, on the first play of the game to Travis Levy, who's a good returner. But, you know, they said that they got that issue corrected, which they did later on. But that puts the defense on its heels right away. You know, Temple is last in scoring defense in the American Athletic Conference. They're giving up 37.7 points per game, but they're actually third in total D. They only give up 320 yards per game. And I know it's more about points than yards, but that gives you an indication of how many, you know, generally speaking, how many bad situations they're put in. You know, I mean, any defense is going to be tested if you give up a 67-yard kickoff return from the get-go. So they responded poorly. And the defense later on in the game held BC in the second half to three straight three and outs. So they responded, and it's still a, you know, it's still a 21-0, eventually 21-3 game. And then they wore down later in the game, but no, they didn't respond well at all. So again, they've lost to, they're 1-2. They're a bad football team. They have not played well against the two good teams on their schedule. BC and Rutgers are both 3-0. They're both having really good seasons so far. And, you know, after this weekend, Temple will be 2-2. But I wrote this over the weekend. It's how they arrive at 2-2. They're not a team that's responded well. They're not a team that's responded well to adversity. They've had some positives here and there. Yes, Justin Lynch is an 18-year-old true freshman who's growing and developing, and he's playing in place of DeJuan Mathis. And, you know, you see some flashes here and there, but they're not a good football team right now, and they absolutely did not respond well. So anything that they say they learned, you know, coming off of Akron, they sure as heck didn't prove it from the get-go, and it cost them.
One of the biggest problems with Temple last couple of years has been special teams. You talked about it. It was the first thing you brought up when it comes to this game, is, you know, giving up a huge kick return to start the game. And, you know, obviously they had a great special teams coach in Ed Foley, and it didn't work out, and Rod Carey's crew came in here. But why is it so difficult for this team to get this right? Because it's been an issue since Rod Carey came, and it's not just bad kick returns, but it'll be, you know, it's kind of like the Phillies bullpen. They'll get a closer, but they won't have anybody to set up the game. They'll get they'll have a setup man, but they won't have a closer. It's, they're finding different ways to suck at one thing. Why is it an issue?
I don't know, Pat. I mean, that's fans, you know, want to hear about every week, and, you know, like, people end up in your Twitter mentions and they say, I hope you ask the tough questions. I hope you have the guts to ask these questions. And I want to be like, relax. Yeah, I'm going to ask. You know, I can ask the question just like any beat reporter. I can ask the question. You may not like the answer, but, you know, it's, you know, and the coaches will say, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's little things. It's coaching. We got to keep working at it. We got to keep working at it. You know, Brett Dearson is their outside linebackers coach and their special teams coordinator. You know, they've had a mix of, you know, some starters and some younger guys who have played on special teams. But yeah, I mean, they, on their coverage units, they allow, like I said, they allowed Travis Levy to go right up the middle. And again, they did eventually clamp down on coverage, but it's the one that you give up that really sets the tone for the rest of the game. You know, if the defense proved in the second half that it was able to hold BC to three straight three and outs, they have shown you in that instance, in that sequence of the game, in that slice of the game, that they can stop a pretty good offense. I mean, they held Zay Flowers, save for one big play, one of the best receivers in the country. You know, they kind of made him, I don't want to say a non-factor because he had one big play, but they held him in check. And, you know, BC had less than 300 yards of total offense in the game and put up 28 points. because, you know, they were gifted a great start right away. I don't know. It's a mix of everything. It's coaching, it's execution. They don't really go after kicks. And they're not the only country that doesn't really aggressively try to block kicks, but you know, you can get away with that if you're a good team. If you're not a good team, special teams is a way, or if you're a kind of an average team, special teams is obviously a way that you can kind of flip the script and get some difference-making plays to win a game for you. It just seems to be a philosophical thing for them where at times Rod Carey has said, you know, and again, I'm paraphrasing here too. He said, you know, I'd rather have the guy fair catch the ball and make the safe play, just get us the ball back and turn it over to the offense. But they're not doing much in the return game, but the coverage has been bad. And it just keeps haunting them. So it has to be a mix of personnel, of coaching. They'll say we got to coach it better, but something's not firing. Now, again, they did make a good in-game adjustment. They didn't give up another long return after that. So you kind of give them a little bit of credit there, but the giving up a 67-yard return from the get-go, it just causes people to roll their eyes and say, more of this again, more of this again. I don't know. It just has not been their strong suit. And it's, you know, the results are what they are. It doesn't seem to be part of their identity. They can say they want to coach it. Obviously, these coaches get paid money, and it's their jobs and their livelihoods on the line. They want to do better at it, but they're just not. And so it's going to be an issue until they really get it corrected. You know, any good team is capable of giving up a return. It happens, but it just seems to hurt Temple almost every week, and it hurt them again right from the get-go. It's very fair to wonder how this game would have turned out had they tightened things up on that opening kickoff return, because you need it. You need that phase of the game working on all cylinders. You've got an 18-year-old true freshman playing quarterback until DeJuan Mathis can come back. And I don't know. It's got to be a mix of everything, coaching, personnel. I mean, one of their best tacklers on special teams has been MJ Griffin, who's turning into one of their better defensive players at safety. He was their leading tackler Saturday, but seems to be the one guy on teams that really tries to get after things. But other than that, yeah, it's your guess is as good as mine, but it's got to be a combination of everything, and it hasn't been good.
Another thing that has been frustrating the past 3 years, at least to me watching it as a fan, has been the penalty situation. The Temple had 11 penalties on Saturday. Am I being too harsh? Am I looking at it too critically? You know, where if I took a step back and looked at some other programs, they also have similar issues, and maybe Temple's undisciplined play isn't as bad. Or am I right? Has this been a problem for 3 years, and you know, a veteran coach and Rod Carey hasn't been able to fix anything?
Well, I mean, right now they're the second most penalized team in the American. They have 23 penalties. I think they're tied with, I think they might be tied with Tulane. Only Tulsa has more, you know, but 23 penalties for the first three games. You know, when you ask the players about it, and again, there's been, I mean, we're getting more media availability now than we did, you know, last year. We can conduct some interviews in person. MJ Griffin, Jaden Blue, and, oh gosh, who else was made available to us after the game? It was Rod Carey, Jason
Steve Adazio, Matt Rule.
Steve,
just tell
Adazio,
me when I hit it.
Yes, they were all there as well. Anyway, talked to Jaden Blue after the game, and we asked him about the issue with penalties, and he said, you know, guys trying to do too much. But Jaden Blue, whether he's towing the company line here and just trying to keep things together, or whether he's telling the truth, he said, and I'm reading a direct quote from, you know, from what he told us on Saturday, so it wasn't anything the coaches did or anything different. It's just on us as players. We've got to execute. We take that all on us at the end of the day. If anybody jumps offside, you can't blame anybody but yourself. If anybody fumbled, you can't blame anybody but yourself. We prepare the right way, and our coaches put us in the right position. That's on us. So, you know, yes, it could be just that. I mean, the bottom line, one of the main things Temple is dealing with here, and I'm not breaking any news when I say this, is when you're winning and you're getting by, winning cures everything, winning masks a lot. When, you know, Temple was in this weird era of their history, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen before, where, you know, Rod Carey comes in after Manny Diaz stays for 18 days and bolts. They come in, and they came in and didn't have an easy job. They had to kind of say to these guys, hey, we're not going anywhere. You've been through a lot. So they go 8-5 in their first year. They go 8-4 in the regular season. They lose to a really good North Carolina team in the bowl game. You can rip Rod Carey all you want for losing the bowl game, but if you want to rip him, you have to rip past Temple coaches for losing bowl games, including Matt Rhule, who was obviously a hell of a football coach and is 2-0 with the Panthers. But then you have last year, and they go 1-6. And the fan base really turns on this and says, you know, regardless of COVID, this stinks, we hate this. And now they're off to this 1-2 start. And it's just when you're losing, everything stinks. Everything is questioned. Everything is, you know, it's the coaches. What's going on here? What's real? What's not? And I think you have some of the players saying, you know, again, whether they're towing the company line or whether they're telling you the truth, they're saying, hey, at some point we have to execute as players. We did prepare well. And maybe it is a thing where guys are pressing, you know, and they're saying, oh, I just want to make a play. Oh, I just want to get that extra step to get to the quarterback and make that decisive play. You know, to change the game and wreck the game and get a win for Temple. Maybe that is part of it, but you know, they had 11 penalties. They were whistled for 14. Javon Edmonds, one of our interns on our staff, had written this yesterday. They were whistled for 14 penalties. 11 were accepted. So they actually had a few more that were called that were declined. So yeah, I mean, it's what hurts is they're 1-2 and they're losing in ways where it's penalties, it's undisciplined special teams play. And that's the stuff too. You know, a loss is a loss, but that's the stuff that stings a little bit more. So again, it's probably a mix of everything. It's coaching, it's execution. And I think, you know, of the 11 penalties they were whistled for on Saturday, I think five of them came from seniors. So it's not like not a bunch of them are coming from true freshmen, you know. It's just, you know, two of them came from juniors. So, yeah, five from seniors, two from juniors. You know, a false start from a running back like Tavon Rooley, who's a grad student. It's, again, it's not good, and it's probably a mix of everything.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the Fighting Andrew Baileys. Wagner comes to town. I think if you had looked at the schedule before the season, this is exactly what you would expect. You know, the Temple football team being 1-2 heading into this week. They're facing an FCS program. This is going to come as a surprise, John. I don't know anything about Wagner. I know a couple of the alumni, as I mentioned. But other than that, I don't know anything about Wagner. I know that Temple has struggled before against FCS opponents. I was there when they lost to Fordham. So is there any chance that this current Temple team, in your opinion, could lose this game?
No, they should not. I might have said this about Akron, but I'll really say this about Wagner. If you lose this game, this thing is... You know, this whole season is cooked. I mean, Wagner's a bad team. I mean, they're 0-3. They stink. You know, and I'm not trying to be, you know, too cruel here, but they're 0-3. And the one FBS opponent they were tested against, and they lost 69-7 to Buffalo, and Buffalo is 1-2 now. And, you know, I don't know, Jalen Frazier is their quarterback. He's not a bad player. They actually have a fairly big offensive line, but they stink. I mean, this is if Temple wins this game by any less than three scores, then there are just more issues there. This is a get-right game to the fullest extent. This is why you have an FCS opponent on your schedule. You know, again, there in every way, shape, or form, Temple should be 2-2 after this weekend. But again, the question is, how did you arrive at 2-2? But man, they just need a win now. They need to go and beat up on somebody, feel good about themselves. DeJuan Mathis is, again, day-to-day heading into the game. You know, from the outside looking in, fans might say rest him for one more week and get him ready to play in the conference opener again.
That was going to be my next question.
Well, I mean, if – I'm obviously not a coach and never will be, but if he's close to 100% and you can get him ready to play, I think he needs to go in there and play. And I think Justin Lynch – for being 18 years old, being a true freshman, I think he's shown you some stuff. I think if the staff had their druthers, they wanted to redshirt him. I like the kid. I think he's smart. I think he's tough. I think he's shown you some stuff. But if Mathis is ready to play, you need to get him in there and play and get him feeling good about himself. Because although he was this high-powered recruit, he has to go in there and show you that he can play and that he is good. I mean, you might have something in him. He needs to get in there and get some plays and just feel good and feel confident. But no, there's no way – no, I don't want to say there's no way they lose this game, but if they lose this game, then they go from being in trouble to being really, really, really in trouble, because this everything would be under question. The coaching, the talent, the preparation. You know, they're just not good. You know, there's no way that Temple should lose this game. You know, they've got a lot of guys from Staten Island. Nick Baggs, Temple's defensive tackle, has said, "Yeah, I know a lot of these guys." And unless this is like a some, you know, subplot where a lot of these guys are super focused in on saying, "We're a bunch of Staten Island guys who play at Wagner, and we really want to beat our friend Nick Baggs at Temple, and they are super motivated to win this game." No, there's no way Temple should lose this game. If they do, they've got massive, massive issues. But there's, you know, no way. I can't see it happening. And if they do, it's really bad.
The Nick Baggs revenge game. I love it.
Why not?
All right. Well, you'll be able to hear Temple versus Wagner this Saturday. It'll be on the Fanatic. Kids tickets are just $12, and you can catch a touchdown on the field. So I think I'll have to shave and head down there and, you know, end up catching a touchdown, because I think I can fit in with those kids. John, if you want to hear John and the rest of the Owl Scoop gang with Dante and Sam and Kyle, they have episode number 7, which means what? That's episode Ronaldo, Nate Sudfeld
episode.
The Andre Miller episode. Look, you'll hear more, I'm sure. But of the Scoop, it is the number one Temple sports podcast. So wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure to search the Scoop, and they break it down way further than we just did here. But it's a really good listen. And obviously, read John's stuff on owlscoop.com. Follow him on Twitter, owlscoop_com. I think I got all the plugs out the way. Johnny, thank you so much, and we will talk to you hopefully next week.
Thank you, Pat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.